Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
I stayed at a haunted house a few years ago. And no, I didn't misspeak. It's the only name I felt was fitting for it. A genuine haunted house would have been a vacation compared to the nightmare I lived through. A few doors creaking in the night, some apparitions standing over me, even a crying little girl in the wind were nothing compared to the depravity of living human beings. Even a crying little girl in the wind were nothing compared to the depravity of living human beings. It all started when I planned a simple getaway with some buddies of mine. We were the typical group of teenage idiots. It was five of us. My buddy Daryl, his girl Allison, my best friend Kevin, and my crush, Mary Beth. We all decided to go on one final trip before everyone went off to start their lives. Daryl and Allison were both going to New York for college. Kevin was shipping out to boot camp, and Mary Beth was planning to travel Europe for a while to do some backpacking with some of her girlfriends. Her parents had that kind of money, so she was taking a holiday year to herself, I guess. I hate to admit it, but I was jealous of them all. Me? Well, I was the loser without plans. I had a job at a convenience store and was going to live in my parents' basement. To be honest, I was dreading the end of summer. I was going to be all alone in our little neighborhood for the first time since I moved there. 5 carefree years of hanging out with my friends almost every goddamn night, and then poof, I'm alone. So, in order to stave off the finality of the summer, I pitched one last hurrah for our friend group. A weekend away in an isolated cabin where we could get drunk, smoke up, play Mario Kart, and lounge at a pool. I spent weeks looking around on the typical sites for a place that met our criteria. Everything was so goddamn expensive. Until I found it. The cabin that was too good to be true. It checked off every box and some, and at half the cost of the rest. It started like any other trip. Everyone piled into Kevin's Jeep. Since I'm skinnier than Kevin and Daryl, I got the fun spot sandwiched between Allison and Mary Beth. Both of them were incredibly attractive, but Kevin's Jeep is open, and it was 97 degrees that day. As much as a guy might say they'd love to be sandwiched between two hot chicks, this was not my idea of a good time. We all pretty much sweat our asses off on the ride there. 3 hours in total, with one stop in between. But the fun part of not driving was getting to enjoy some road drinks. Mary Beth bought us all some of those custom metal cups with our names engraved on them. She was always sweet like that, showing up at big events with gifts or special homemade cakes. I guess that's why I always found myself so enamored with her. She just had a genuine kindness to her that most girls my age didn't have. I could never work up the courage to tell her how I felt, and to be honest, I had no intentions to on this trip. I knew how the story went. Even if I spilled my guts to her and confessed all my feelings, the best case was we would have 2 to 3 weeks before she went off to venture across Europe and forget all about me. I didn't want to put either of us through that awkward long-distance situation, so let sleeping dogs lie was always what I told to myself. I was a damn idiot. I squandered a chance I'll never get back. After a few hours, our GPS veered us onto a back road that stretched deep into the woods. Daryl decided to be cute and hummed the banjo song from the Deliverance movie. Allison yelled at him to shut up, half joking but half serious. "Just saying, backwoods and black people don't usually mix, babe," he half-heartedly laughed. Everyone else in the car giggled at his joke, but the scowl on her face told us that Allison did not find it funny. Not that she took offense to Daryl's joke, she just started the trip with an axe to grind. She was already mad Daryl wouldn't sit in the back seat with her, so add in the alcohol, the heat, and a long drive, and we You're the perfect recipe for some drama. He was no worry, though. Those two had one of the most toxic teenage relationships you could think of. They probably broke up monthly, but they always wound up making out on the couch by the end of any night they were together. It was exhausting, but we were all used to it. "Don't worry, bud, you got me," Kevin said, slapping Daryl on the back. What a true statement that was. Kevin was a beast of a man, star linebacker of the football team, and a two-time wrestling state champion. No one messed around with him at school. He was a great friend to have. Mr. Popular, as I called him. We just happened to be seated next to each other in freshman algebra. High school got a lot easier for me once I became friends with Kevin. I didn't have any friends before Kevin, and I was struggling with a typical teenage angst and depression. We bonded over our mutual love of retro games. I couldn't tell you how many nights we wasted getting high, playing GoldenEye on the N64. Good times. Kevin had 3D1 scholarship offers, but turned them all down to join the Marines and follow in his dad's footsteps. His mom was mad, but ultimately, Kevin turned 18 4 months ago, and there was nothing she could do to stop him. "And me?" I joked, slapping Daryl's back. Yeah, like my 6 foot, 170-pound skinny ass was going to do anything. We pulled into the massive cabin as Mary Beth squealed with excitement. "Oh. My. God," she said, enamored by the size of the place. "Jesus Christ, you sure this is the right place?" Kevin said. "Yeah, that's the address," I told them all, proud of my find. "Well, damn, man. Good job," Daryl said. "Yeah, awesome job, Jake," Allison chimed in. I admit, I was enjoying the shower of compliments. Once we got inside, it only got better. The place was a monstrous cabin, loaded with amenities. A full-size pool, pool tables, foosball tables, shuffleboard, a 90-inch flat screen, and a fully stocked kitchen. This was a luxury stay, and we could not have been more excited. We immediately poured up shots of Pinnacle Whipped as Kevin toasted to me for finding the place. It burned from my throat all the way down to my toes, but that's the stuff you drink when you're a kid, I suppose. There wasn't much else to talk about that first day. We drank, smoked, ate, played foosball, swam some laps in the pool. Hell, even Daryl and Allison barely fought. It was a good time. The last good time I ever had with all of them. It all went wrong around 2 in the morning. Kevin, Daryl, and Allison had all passed out. It was just Mary Beth and I on the couch playing Mario Kart. She was boasting about crushing me, making fun of me. She was being very touchy, which wasn't always abnormal for her, but it was more aggressive this time, like she was sending me a message. She tried to knock the controller out of my hands, and it turned into a playful wrestling match where she wound up on top of me. From there, it escalated into a kiss. Of course, I was loving it, but I was confused. "Where's all this coming from?" I said, laughing between. "Are you really this oblivious?" Mary Beth said, looking at me. "Do I really need to spell it out for you?" "Spell what out?" I asked. Remember, I was an idiot. "Dude, I've been in love with you for years," she said, nervous to hear my response. "I didn't know you felt that way," I said back. "Should I have kept my mouth shut?" she said, starting to feel embarrassed. No, this is great. I felt the same way. I guess I just didn't want to ruin our dynamic." I nervously stood back. Mary Beth leaned back in for another kiss when the hissing noise started. I obviously wanted to ignore it, but it was growing louder and louder. "What's that sound?" I asked, gently pushing her back off me for a second. I don't know." That's when she passed out on top of me. I looked up to see a cloud of white gas filling the room. I tried to get up and move, but the gas already started working. My vision was fading. The last thing I remembered was 3 lumbering, masked men standing over me and Mary Beth. I don't know how long we were out, but I was aggressively shaken awake by Kevin. My face was cold and my body hurt. I realized I was lying on a cold concrete floor. "Jake, Jake, get the hell up, man." I sat up, still groggy from the knockout gas. "Where are we?" I looked around and saw everyone standing around in this damp little concrete room. Allison was sobbing into her palms while Daryl was comforting her. Mary Beth was quiet and stoically looking around the room, trying to piece together what was happening. "We gotta get the hell out of here," Kevin said, pointing to the only door in the room. "Guys," Mary Beth was pointing up. Her hand was trembling as the realization that someone was watching us settled in. "There's a camera in here." "Hey, screw you," I remember Kevin screaming at the top of his lungs, like whoever was on the other end would have cared anyway. It was about this moment that the door unlatched and slowly swung open. We all braced, waiting to come face to face with our captors. And then, nothing. Nothing but unending darkness in front of us. "Should we go?" Allison stammered. "Screw this, man." Kevin, in a moment of bravery or stupidity, charged at the door. It was probably a combination of both. We saw him trip, heard a deafening bang, and then stood there in utter shock as the warmth of Kevin's blood and brain matter splattered across our faces. The lights outside the room finally cut in, and one by one, we all came to the horrific realization of what just happened. Kevin, my best friend, triggered some kind of tripwire in his testosterone-laden bull rush. Blood, brains, and shrapnel of his skull blanketed every inch of the walls around him. Allison let out an ear-piercing scream, louder than the goddamn blast that just went off. "What the hell just happened?" Daryl screamed, still wiping some of Kevin off his face. "It was rigged. The damn door was rigged," Mary Beth said, pointing up. As the shock of what just happened wore off, we saw it. A goddamn shotgun was rigged above the door. Kevin ran through the tripwire, setting it off. I just remember mumbling "Jesus" over and over again as I stared at Kevin's neck stump. Blood still poured from his body into a pool on the concrete floor in front of us. We could even see him still twitching. I remember wondering if his parents would want to bury him, given the circumstances. When you're in a situation like this, you tend to think of the weirdest things. Daryl finally shouted something that pulled me out of my trance. "Guys, pockets, check your pockets, I got a note in mine. Salvation is not found at the entrance. Heretics who do not heed our words will burn," he said, reading aloud. "What does that even mean?" Mary Beth chimed in next. "Damn. What?" I recall shouting back. It says, tread lightly, as the doors open. Now is not the time to lose your head." Allison was still in shock. It was clear to the rest of us that she was starting to lose it. Daryl shouted at her and told her to give her the paper. "Be not afraid of heights. You have 1 hour. Those who jump into the abyss may survive this yet." Mary Beth turned to me, asking me to read mine out loud. Mine was different from everyone else's, and I debated whether or not to make something up. "Keep your wits about you. Doorways are dangerous." I don't know why I did it. I lied to my best friends in that moment, but what else could I have done? It was about survival at that point, and my note had instructions. Not following them may have led to more death. After all, we were being watched. I didn't want to break the rules of whoever our demented tormentors were. "Check Kevin's pockets," I shouted, getting the attention off of me. "Damn, good idea," Daryl said. Blood grosses me out, man." He groaned in a manner that implied he wanted someone else to do it. "I'll do it, you pussy," Mary Beth shouted. I'd never heard her talk like that before. It was jarring. We could tell Daryl was shocked too. She walked over to Kevin's body, doing her best to avoid looking at the stump where his head once was. She shoved a hand down his pocket, groaning as his blood coated her hands. Finally, after a few seconds of digging, she pulled a blood-soaked note out. "I can't make much out. The key, kitchen, tea, pie? What the hell are we supposed to do with that?" Daryl shouted. "I don't know. Just be more careful in the kitchen," Mary Beth confidently stated, wiping Kevin's blood off her hands. "We have to keep moving." "Are you crazy?" Allison chimed in. "You saw what happened to Kevin. I'm not leaving this room." "Babe, you heard the note. We have 1 hour. Less now. We have to move. Who knows what these guys will do to us?" Daryl attempted to reason with her. After a few more minutes of arguing, Mary Beth threw her hands up in frustration. "You guys can stay here, but I'm getting the hell out of this place." She began walking away from us, carefully stepping over the tripwire that did Kevin in. I quickly followed behind her, knowing she was right. Daryl finally got Allison up in that moment and followed closely behind me. It was clear we were in the basement of the cabin, having done a self-guided tour earlier in the day. But everything was different now. All the furniture was removed and the walls were covered in blue tarp and barbed wire. The hallway led to an old creaky staircase leading to the main floor. Mary Beth stood at the bottom of the darkened pathway. The light that was over the stairs was deliberately removed. I remember grabbing her arm, telling her she needed to wait. The creaky wooden steps were probably rigged, and I wasn't about to watch her die like Kevin. "Let me go," I chimed in, trying to be brave. I took a deep breath and began slowly climbing the stairs with my back against the wall. I urged everyone to do the same. Each creak of the old wooden steps was agonizing as I braced for something horrible to happen, but nothing did. I kept moving higher and higher, struggling to hear myself think over my labored breathing. I was near the top of the steps when I heard the definitive sound of wood snapping. Daryl shouted at the top of his lungs and hunched over, trying to pull his legs. Allison stood behind him, desperately trying to help. I felt something swing behind me. Mary Beth and I were lucky enough to be up the steps far enough that we were out of the strike zone. It swung over Daryl, who was still hunched over trying to free his leg. Allison wasn't so lucky. It was a heavy metal object fastened to the end of a chain, decorated with razor-sharp protrusions. It smacked her face with a sickening crunch. It must have impaled her, because it knocked her off her feet. But she still hung there, trying to claw at the object to no avail as the life slowly faded from her and her arms dropped to her sides. Blood poured down onto the floor as Allison's lifeless body hung there at the bottom steps. "No, no, 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 no!" I'll never forget Daryl's guttural screams as he watched the limp body sway back and forth. Daryl must have triggered another trap. I'm guessing since Mary Beth and I were lighter and were able to pass over it. He ripped his leg out of the split wood and ran down the steps to Allison, desperate to help her. It was already too late. She was gone in a matter of seconds. Her face was practically caved in and the spikes went clean through her skull. Daryl lost it at that moment. He stormed up the steps, eager to fight whatever psycho put us in this mess. He bashed through the door with no regard for his safety. "Are you damn ready? Let's go. Let's get the hell out." Mary Beth and I followed through, relieved another trap wasn't rigged in this doorway. We tried to calm Daryl down, but he wouldn't have it. That's when I noticed the front door was wide open. Daryl noticed at the same time and made a break for it. "No, Daryl!" Mary Beth screamed, remembering the vague warning about the entrance not being salvation. But it was too late. He was already through it before we could blink. We ran up to the door, hoping to coax him back inside. For a brief moment, it looked like Daryl was going to make it to the road. That's when Mary Beth saw the man in the gas mask step out from behind a tree. He was carrying a World War II era flamethrower. Who the hell can even find one of those goddamn things? He sprayed Daryl with it, setting him ablaze. I still hear his screams in my dreams. Three more men in the same getup stepped out and added to the flames. The sickening smell of charred flesh is forever burned into my memories. It probably took a few minutes for Daryl to stop moving, but it felt like hours. The three men turned towards the entrance and simply stood there. It was clear they were all but daring us to try and make a run for it. I backed away from the door and pulled Mary Beth with me. "The kitchen," she muttered. "Kitchen?" I asked, confused. "Kevin's note said something about a key in the kitchen." I closed the door to the house, because I could not stand the thought of those guys watching us, waiting for us to run. "Our way out is on the third floor," I muttered, out of breath. "Maybe the key will let us out." There was no way to know for sure. Who the hell knows what other traps were rigged to rip us to shreds? We walked into the kitchen, and right there on the table was a pie, just sitting out. It was obvious that it was placed there deliberately. It seemed simple enough. Too simple. "Oh God," Mary Beth said, right before she threw up on the floor. I walked over to the pie on the table as I realized what it was. Entrails, eyeballs, human hair, all lumped into one disgusting pie tray. "Oh God, we have to dig through that?" I was exasperated by this point. What the hell else could these lunatics throw at us? I knew I had to get it done if I ever wanted to see another sunrise, so I took a deep breath and plunged my hand into the gooey pile of human remains. "Oh God, it sounds like mac and cheese," I said as my hand sloshed around the entrails. I could feel it all sliding through my fingers as I used every inch of my willpower to hold my vomit down. I felt something solid brush against my finger and honed in on it. "Oh, thank God," I said as I yanked a standard house key out of the pile of guts. I shook the gunk off my hand and took two steps before I finally gave in to my stomach's desires and hurled onto the floor. You hold on to that, Mary Beth told me, not eager to grab onto the key. "Let's go." We made our way up to the second set of stairs leading to the house's third floor. Once again, we crept up every step, snuck around every corner, and carefully tiptoed through every doorway until we finally found it. The master bedroom with a bright red "Freedom" painted above the room's only padlocked window. I pulled the key out, released the padlock, and pulled the locking contraption off the window. Mary Beth had to help me, but we slowly slid the window up, making sure not to trigger any more traps. We peeked our heads out and looked down. It was pitch black. The note said, "Jump into the abyss," she recalled. "I'll go first," I volunteered. It wasn't an act of bravery, more an act of self-preservation, but she saw it as brave. I slid through the window feet first and closed my eyes. It was now or never. I let go, hoping for the best. I felt the cool night breeze whip against my face. I braced for a hard thud of the ground, but instead, I hit something soft. It was one of those inflatable bounce mats the firefighters use to catch people in burning buildings. I called up to Mary Beth and told her to jump. She was right behind me, hitting it hard enough to send me bouncing back into the air and onto the grass. She quickly helped me to my feet, and we looked into the forest. "We have to run." She could barely get a word out before four masked men ambushed us. They grabbed us both and forced us to our knees. Another one of the sickos started clapping, cackling behind his mask. "Well, well, well," he said, muffled behind his creepy Nixon mask. "What a show." "Screw you," Mary Beth screamed. "You shouldn't be mad at me, Mary Beth. You've been played," the man said, gesturing to me. "What the hell is he talking about?" Mary Beth exclaimed. "I'm sorry, Mary Beth. I'm so sorry," I cried. "The game had rules, and Jake here played it perfectly. Go on, tell Mary Beth what you withheld from everyone." "Jake, what is he talking about?" Mary Beth said, with desperation behind a wavering voice. I lied about my note," I said, ashamed to look at her. "What do you mean?" she said, almost ready to cry. I'm sorry, Mary Beth. I was crying at this point. It said, first one to escape gets to go home. You coward! She screamed, and she was right. It was cowardice. I sacrificed her to save myself. Oh man, I always love when we do this one. It's such a fun social experiment, the masked man shouted. Jake, you're free to go. Mary Beth, sorry about your luck, kid. Just leave, Mary Beth screamed. I hope you enjoy your stupid life, knowing what you did to me, you piece of... I couldn't look her in the eyes anymore at this point. The shame of what I did was too much. Oh, you guys are going to make me cry. Knock them out, he barked to his men. The last thing I remember is the feel of a sharp needle in my neck. I woke up in a hospital bed a few hours later. I sat up, thinking I hallucinated the whole thing. That was, until I saw the note sitting on the table next to my bed. It was written on the same paper that we had in our pockets at the beginning of the night. If you value your life and the life of your family, you tell no one about our fun little weekend, smiley face. Signed, The Hunters Club. My mom and dad burst through the door shortly after, blubbering about a car crash and how all our friends' bodies were recovered, except Mary Beth's. The story that was sold to them was Kevin veered off a bridge into a river. The car caught fire, charring all the bodies. Mary Beth and I were ejected from the car into the river. I washed ashore, and she was never found. They were grateful I survived such a horrific accident, and they never stopped to think about the absurdity of the cover story. I haven't so much as muttered a word about that night in years. The therapist my mom made me see diagnosed me with a combination of PTSD and survivor's guilt. But I know the truth. I couldn't speak of that night for all our sakes. So I thought. I received a letter last night that sent a chill up my spine, written on the same damn paper. It was one line, and I knew exactly who it was from. Welcome to the Hunted Club. I'm coming for you. Signed, MB. I'm sure my days are numbered. I thought I won the game that night, but I guess it never ended. I don't know what happened to Mary Beth or what they did to her, but it's clear she blames me. She's coming for me, and I doubt I can stop her. So, why am I telling you this, knowing they'll get me for going public? If I'm going to die, I might as well do something good. This is my warning to you all. Be careful booking vacation homes. If it seems too good to be true, it might be. The last thing you want is to unwittingly find yourself in a haunted house. It's a game. You'll never escape.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.